Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. This is Clint here with our co-host and mission team leader, Dr. Sam. And Dr. Sam, this should be a national holiday this week, at least a holiday for parents. School's exactly. Back in session. teachers are groaning, but us parents rejoice.
And I remember also, those days.
Yes. It's also a time when churches ramp up their fall student ministries and start small groups for all ages. Exciting time in the life of a church, a traditional, really, or a built-in restart and an opportunity to recreate ministries. And one ministry that's been recreated over the past few years has been missions discipleship. And that's our topic today. So thank you guys for joining us as we talk about this. Dr. Sam, we speak fondly of our formative years in our smaller membership churches, our formative membership churches. What did missions discipleship look like at Black Oak Baptist Church?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Art. That's a long time ago, so I'm trying to remember that, Clint. And what I can tell you is that we did not have those traditional mission discipleship groups like an RAs or Mission Friends. We had... Sunday night is when mission discipleship would occur mostly at Black Oak in what was known as our training union. Now, you may be too young to remember training union.
I think it changed to discipleship training during my childhood.
Yeah. but training union, I even remember the days of BYPU, Baptist Youth. Baptist Young People Union. But during those times when we would have our training union on a Sunday evening, those who taught those classes would begin with a time of focus on our missionaries. And they would share those who were having birthdays and where they were serving, what country they were serving. And we would have times of prayer for them. So it was introduced to us that way. And that was basically the extent in that smaller membership church of our missions discipleship. But it was a prayer component, which is, we've talked about before, is one of the most important components of mission discipleship, that we learn how to pray for our missionaries and where they are serving and the people that they're serving. That also was introduced during our Sunday school, Tom, when we had those same calendars of birthdays and special things going on in the life of our missionaries.
And that's what we've had previous episodes where we have talked about the impact of missions discipleship upon leaders in the International Mission Board, WMU even in, pastors that are across the state. Mm-hmm. As we think about missions discipleship and our podcast desiring to be biblically based, we know that Jesus commanded us to make disciples in the Great Commission, to teach them all things. But I think the tendency has been to separate discipleship and missions, to treat them as two separate components. Yet throughout the book of Acts, we see multiplication taking place. And it would lead Paul to write Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Yeah, that's a great foundation verse for what we're going to talk about today with missions discipleship. And we include those together, that discipleship, missions included together. That's one of the three goals that we have as a team of assisting our churches in these areas of missions discipleship among all age groups within the church. So this morning, we have as our guest two of our team members. This is the first time we've done this, Clint, where we've brought other members of the missions team to be on our podcast. So want to introduce you guys to two of our team members. We have with us Miss Debbie Moore and Travis McCormick, who both serve in this particular area of missions discipleship.
And probably two of the longest serving Arkansas Baptist staff members, for sure the longest on our team.
Yeah, I think so. Debbie, why don't you take a moment and let folks know kind of the journey you've been on with Arkansas Baptist. When did that begin for you?
So my journey with Arkansas Baptist, not as an employee, but as a member of an Arkansas Baptist State Convention church and events, was in when I was 9 years old, and that was in 1961 at Camp Perrin as a GA. And I grew up at GA camp at Camp Perrin as a camper and then as a staffer and then as director. When I finished seminary and came back to Little Rock and worked with Julia Kettner, who was our executive director at the time, and led GA camps at Camp Perrin for several years. And my call to missions came through GAs and through the experiences that I had as a GA, as a camper, as a staffer. I can remember well standing on the back porch of the snack shack as a 17-year-old and knowing for sure that God was calling me to international missions, and that's when I said yes to Him. I called my mother. I was crying. She didn't shed a tear. She said, "I knew it. Why haven't you called me sooner?" So then I worked with Arkansas Baptist State Convention since 1978, off and on, back and forth. ABSC.
How many times have you retired, Debbie?
I've retired 17 times. No, just once. But back and forth between missions team and WMU and international missions.
Well, we are sure glad that Miss Debbie's with us on our missions team. And she has really played a vital role in missions discipleship among Arkansas Baptist churches. Hey, Travis, take a moment and talk about your journey with ABSC as well.
Sure. Well, thanks for letting us be here today. I grew up in RAs and churches in New Mexico and Texas, and I was saved at RA camp when I was 9 years old. I gave my heart and life to Jesus that time. I really believe that's when He called me into missions and ministry as well. And then I moved to Arkansas to go to school at Ouachita, and I served on staff at First Baptist Clarendon while I was in college at Hebron Baptist Church in West Little Rock. And then when I came back, I began to serve at Second Baptist Church in Russellville and was responsible for helping with the RAs and with those groups there. And that's kind of how I got connected to the convention. Bob Fielding was serving in this position at the time and had me come and do some training with them. Got to go to Alaska and do some men and boys training and do some different things. And then when he left, he recommended me for this job. So I don't really have him to thank or to blame for me being here, but I've been here for 16 years now, serving and being able to help churches, and was tasked with the goal of getting churches involved in missions discipleship or teaching people how to be on mission every day. And so that's where my journey began, and I've been here 16 years. I have not retired yet. I know some people may have wanted me to, but I have not gone yet. But I'm glad for the time that I've been able to be here, and this is my passion and what I enjoy doing.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're glad both of you are with us today.
Absolutely. Hey, as we jump into the idea of missions discipleship, and where I mentioned that throughout the book of Acts, we see multiplication taking place. I recently read an article that made this statement. It said, "Disciple multipliers prioritize relationships, not curriculum." And in that article, the writer focused on how Jesus prioritized the relationship with the disciples. And we have seen, and as we talk about missions discipleship, we have seen missions discipleship move from being curriculum-based to prioritizing relationships. From the traditional RA and GA mission friend, the curriculum, where that is still available, but yet we've seen that change happen where we are, again, prioritizing relationships. Share with us how you have seen that take place.
So I've noticed this over the last several years as I've seen and heard about more missions leaders and members in the church, more WMU members, taking the biblical mandate for discipleship making more seriously. Missions discipleship, which I believe is learning to love and follow Jesus and become more like Him, most often occurs in a mentoring relationship. I've seen this happening in my own church as well as in churches around our state. Women who've been down the road before, women who've been walking with the Lord longer, coming alongside younger women, loving them, genuinely caring about them, and helping them learn what it means to love and follow the Master. So I have a mentor right now. She's committed to praying for and with me. She's committed to giving me spiritual guidance in decision making. She's committed to pointing me to God's Word always. We've been involved in missions outreach and evangelism together here in Arkansas as well as in other parts of the United States. This woman is actually younger than I am, and I'm so thankful for the missions discipleship relationship that we share that is so encouraging to both of us. On the other hand, I'm currently mentoring two younger women because I'm committed to helping them know Christ more and desire to follow Him in making disciples. So I've seen missions discipleship prioritize relationships, not curriculum, as I experience it personally and as I watch it happening in others' lives. Women, men, and students, we willingly use our new life in Him to benefit and share Him with others, all for His glory.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Debbie. You know, Clint, I've often said, and we'll have Travis chime in on this in just a moment, often said as a pastor that in the relationships we have, if we're going to be making disciples, we need to be a Paul and have a Paul. We need to have that person who's speaking into our life. We need that Timothy as well, that we are speaking into their life. And that's what mission discipleship is all about, when those conversations and activities center around the Great Commission, the command to make disciples. Travis?
Yeah, I think this move towards relationships is really not a new thing, because this is how Jesus modeled it for us. This is what He did. When we really look at what disciple making is all about, it's about people. And it's about relationships. It's hard to make disciples without disciples. It's hard to make disciples without having relationships with people. And so really trying to focus on teaching people that, you know, men's ministry is not really this goal of reaching the masses at once. It's really one man reaching one man. And it's taking responsibility. And I think a little side note, even in the time when we were doing the ongoing curriculum and the ongoing programs, it still was so much about the men who were mentoring the young boys. And I think one of the reasons why we don't have these programs now is because the relationships was the hard part. It was easy to grab some curriculum and just pick it up. And for a lot of people, if I could pick it up on a Wednesday, an hour beforehand, and I could just go through it, then I'm good. But for a lot of these boys that were coming, it was about, they wanted to know that what they were doing matters. And if all we did was get together and have a lesson and maybe eat something or play a game of football for a little while, that was enough. But what they really cared about, what made the impact on me, was the men that invested in me. And so for so long, we've just had where people have said, I can do all the rest, but I don't have time to do the investment. And this is what Jesus showed us. This is the important part. You've got to make the time, because if you don't make the time, then you're not going to make the disciples, because it doesn't just happen in a setting on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night. So now as churches move away from having time to meet together in an organized time, we need to find ways to equip and encourage and teach people how to do this by themselves, one-on-one, and how to, and we'll talk about this more later, but just how to take their passions and use those to start beginning to build relationships. And you can't use the excuse that I'm an introvert. I'm not an extrovert, so I can't reach people. That He doesn't leave us that doorway open to say, take that out. He says, you will make disciples and you will be my witnesses. And so I think we really have had to, because we've moved away from the curriculum, it's forced us to do this and people to really take notice, because they realize that this doesn't just happen on its own. We've got to be intentional about doing this. And if we don't have this hour-long block, how can I do this? Well, it's about relationships, and we've got to get out of our comfort zone and start learning how to do that.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Now, as Southern Baptists, we have a rich missions heritage. And when it comes to missions discipleship within the context of the local church, we've talked about those changes. We've all seen plenty of changes over the years. As a team, staff of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, we place a real high value on assisting our churches in whatever way they choose to do missions discipleship. Now, I'm the old guy. It shows with a lot of things that I say, a lot of approaches that I have. It also shows a whole lot in when it's working with technical things. That's why I've got Clint sitting over there by the soundboard now, and he's the one who operates that and makes this this possible. But I still value those traditional methods of missions discipleship. You both have given witness, and like Clint said, we've had guests on in the past who are very instrumental in where we are and leading Southern Baptist in missions. Jeff Ginn, Sandy Wisdom Martin, several others. And each of them have given witness to the importance of GAs, RAs, mission friends in their lives, and how in that context God called them into ministry and into mission. So I know over the years that those curriculum options for the age-graded missions discipleship have changed to be a little more relevant, to help churches. Debbie and Travis, both of you speak into this. How has our national WMU sought to update those traditional methods for the local church where there's an emphasis perhaps on relationship building and mentoring? And what do you think the status is right now of those traditional methods of missions discipleship among Arkansas Baptist churches?
So, Sam, I'm an old gal, and I still value those traditional missions discipleship methods as well. In fact, growing up in the WU Children's Organizations changed my worldview and taught me the grand narrative of the Scriptures. As a child, the foundation for my life was laid through missions discipleship, as I learned that God had a plan and purpose to use me for His glory. Some of my favorite descriptive words of Jesus are, "He had compassion." That's in Matthew 9:36. And if I want to be more like Jesus, my compassion must go beyond saying I care, beyond seeing. Jesus not only cared, He did something in response. His actions remind us that being compassionate is not just feeling sorry for those who are hungry, hurting, helpless, or in distress. It's responding to what we see and feel. So, out of that love and compassion for women and their families who are refugees, out of that love and compassion for women who need life skills and job skills, women who are trafficked, out of that love and compassion for people around our world who don't have clean water to drink, out of all of those, the WMU Compassion Ministries were formed. And WMU Compassion Ministries are hands-on ministries that women, men, students, children, and even preschoolers on occasion can participate in. And they're all about missions discipleship. WMU Compassion Ministries include ministry in refugee resettlement communities, ministries with internationals in general, Christian Women's, Christian Men's Job Corps, Pure Water, Pure Love, Baptist Nursing Fellowship, World Crafts, Christmas in August, Backpack Ministries, and on and on. So I know of a GA group in Arkansas that focused on a people group in West Africa. The GAs learned about this people group, they prayed for them, and God led them to adopt that people group. These GA girls did special projects to earn money so a water well could be dug in the main village so the school children would have clean water to drink. They've developed a relationship with a teacher in that school and keep regular contact with her. These GA girls are learning more about the culture of this people group. They're praying for the children in the school. They've sent scripture cards and verses sharing God's love and His plan for salvation to the children in the school. Missions discipleship has a long-term effect, and these GA girls will always remember that it's their responsibility to take the gospel to the nations.
That's awesome.
That's some awesome stuff.
Top that one, Travis. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I would say one of the things that's happened in our churches that I've seen is that churches have begun to say that missions discipleship is not for lost kids. And so they say we need to do programs that involve more lost people, that get the opportunity to get the gospel to lost people. And my response to that is, what better opportunity for lost kids than to be involved in missions discipleship, to learn about Jesus, to learn who he is, to learn what he did, to be actively involved in being the hands and feet of Jesus, seeing it played out so that they can go, oh, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so I would say that it's the exact opposite. It's not something that pushes people away, but what's happened in the past is that we developed that mindset, and so it's not as attractive to people to come in. It doesn't draw the crowds. But part of that is because we don't present it in the same way that we present our other programs. We set our other programs out there as, you all come because we're doing this program. It's fantastic. You don't want to miss it. Oh, yeah, and by the way, we might have RAs and GAs after that, or we might have it at another time. And then we use that to say, well, see, we don't have the attendance to RAs and GAs, so we're going to do these other programs. And so I think that there's a lot of guys that had an issue with RAs coming to WMU again. And for some time, they would look at some of the lessons and some of the things we're offered and say, well, those are too girly. Those are set up for GAs. Well, if you really look at the stuff, especially as they've revamped it and have some more men on staff now, there are a lot of options that you can use, and there are things for guys. And sometimes you get to use your creativity. Some people want it laid out for them that do this, do this, do this. Some people say there's too many options. But what I see it as is an opportunity for you to say, okay, this won't work for us, but we can do this. But at least this gives us a basic outline. And so they get the Bible story. They get memory verses. They get hands-on missions. They get to learn about cooperative missions, which, again, is, I think, one of the keys to Southern Baptist Missions discipleship is, if we're going to be Southern Baptist, it's for a reason. And primarily it's for our cooperative missions. It's how we do missions together. And if they're not learning it from the churches, where are they going to learn it from?
Come on.
And so there's very good material out there, and you're not going to like everything that they produce, but you can use the parts and the pieces that you do like. And if you're not going to do just what you would call missions discipleship programs, I would still say that everything we do should fall under this missions discipleship. We're teaching people how to live on mission. We're evangelizing them. We're helping them meet Jesus, and then we're helping them grow to be like Jesus, which is what he tells us. And so anybody listening, let them know there's some good material that's still out there. The challenge now is just to get them to take a look at it again, because people have preconceived ideas or something that happened in the past. And so the material that's being produced is good stuff. We just got to have people start looking at it and start seeing the need and falling in love with it as much as they have with the other programs that we do, and see results from that and realize that people are getting saved and people are making decisions to follow Jesus.
Yeah, and so those who are listening, if anybody's listening,
the multitudes that are listening,
where do they go to discover the curriculum that's available?
WMUstore.com.
Okay, great.
All right. Yeah, and that's what I want our listeners to understand, that as we talk about, you used the word, Travis, revamp of curriculum. We're not saying, hey, throw out the curriculum and just focus on relationships. It's a both and. And there are, like you said, it's been revamped. If you haven't looked at that lately, you need to. I think you'll have your eyes open to some of the stuff you've been missing, and some stuff that's out there that can really help you in missions discipleship. But let's talk about some non-curriculum options. As we're talking about being relational, you guys have been involved in some non-curriculum options for women, for men, for children, for families, for students. Let's talk about them. Miss Debbie, why don't you start us off? Tell us about some of the non-curriculum things that you've been a part of.
So 14 years ago, God connected me with a ministry in Brooklyn, New York, that reaches international women through English classes and social gatherings for the purpose of sharing Christ. Long story short, teams of women from churches around Arkansas have traveled with me to Brooklyn. Some years it's been twice a year, spring and fall, some just once a year. During COVID, there were a couple of years we didn't go. To teach, prayer walk, visit in homes, provide activities for children in neighborhood parks, and several other things. And over these 14 years of being involved in New York, relationships have been formed with these international women. The gospel has been shared. Real friendships have started. And so we partner with like-minded women who serve among these international women on a weekly basis. Now, my favorite Brooklyn trip was our mother-daughter trip in 2022. There were six mothers and six daughters. And it was so special watching them learn and pray and serve together. This was truly a missions discipleship trip. Just last month, or now it was the month before last, May, we had a team of Arkansas women serve in Clarkston, Georgia, which is Clarkston Ministry Center is a Sin Relief Ministry of North American Mission Board. We partnered with Refugee Sewing Society. Refugee Sewing Society provides fellowship and job skills training for refugee women. They sew and make handmade items to sell. The money they make helps provide financial support for them and for their families. And now different local churches across Arkansas are becoming more involved with this ministry center in Clarkston, learning more about refugees, praying for them, serving them. So these are a couple of ways that we've gone outside of curriculum, building relationships, mentoring, praying for, learning about missions, all of the core values of Women's Missionary Union tied in to this ministry.
Yeah, I think as well, Clint and Debbie, I'm sure you'd agree with this, and Travis, those ministry centers with the North American Mission Board are not a whole lot of our Southern Baptist churches know about those. But those are incredible places to take a group on a mission trip, to develop mission discipleship strategy while you're there as well. And each of those areas, it appears, has a particular niche in ministry, whether it's with refugees or it's homeless or it's trafficking. I would encourage all of our listeners to go to NAM and look at the complete list of those ministry centers. There's one in Memphis. It's so close. I mean, that's a day trip for a lot of our churches just to go over, spend an entire day there, learn what is happening there, and who knows what God could do with a trip to one of our ministry centers. Travis, kind of talk to us a little bit about some of the non-curriculum options we have there for men and boys.
Well, when I first got here 16 years ago, we referred to missions discipleship as missions education. And when you use that term, then a lot of people kind of get turned off because education doesn't sound like something very fun. And so we decided that missions discipleship was more accurate, and we started doing some different things. And Charity Taylor and I, at the time, my counterpart with the women, developed an event called Connect, which is Student Missions Weekend. And we basically take students for the weekend, and we go to a local church, and we give them we call it an experience of a week-long mission trip in a weekend. And they get to learn all the different things about what it means to be on mission and how to serve here at home, how to serve if they travel abroad. For most of them, it's their first time to ever come on a mission trip, and they learn how to share the gospel. They get to sleep on a floor. They get to eat DR food. They get to take showers in shower trailers.
And everybody.
Yeah, and so many people, even after 16 or 15 years of doing this, still don't know about it. But when they hear about it and they come, they go, man, I wish we would have known earlier. And just realize it's a great opportunity to teach them these skills without telling them this is what we're teaching you. And from all of these things, for Engage Camp, we started as just a week-long experience where they get the hands-on experience of serving and being the hands and feet of Jesus, and then coming back and doing breakout sessions and having worship service at night and the experience of a camp. But we kind of focus on the questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how of missions each year. So we pick one of those as our theme and just really dive deep into what that means. And then our Man Up event that we started during COVID is an opportunity for men to gather together and realize, again, it goes back to relationships. We need each other. Especially as guys, we don't think we need anybody. We've got our spouses, we've got our work, we've got our jobs, we've got the people around us. That's all we need, our families. And we realize that we do need each other because we need to glean from each other, learning how to be on mission together. We need encouragement, we need exhortation, we need accountability. And we also need to learn the skills from each other. So all of these things that we've done have just been things that we've put in place that have given us some practical tools. I love hearing from guys, hey, this is the first time I ever learned how to share my faith. This is the first time that I prayed with somebody. Students at an event that say, I was most looking forward to praying with people because I've never done that before. Students getting saved on a Friday night and then going out on a Saturday and leading people to faith in Christ. And just seeing them take that, and as much as we would like to see somebody, lots of salvation decisions on that one day experience, it's more about in 3 or 4 years really seeing how these adults and these students have developed and how they begin to learn that my mission field is right where I'm at. And I can begin to build relationships just simply by sharing the passions that we have and learning to start talking to people about the Jesus that I say I love and that I serve and that I want them to know about. And so all these events that we've done, missions, Family Day at the Zoo, Missions U, all of those things have been intentional to get people to think about and to learn the skills that are necessary to identify the ministry opportunities and to begin to be on mission every day of their life.
Yeah, and speaking about Family Day at the Zoo and Missions U, those are two most recent missions discipleship training events that we have placed on the calendar. Going forward, I think our plan is we're going to alternate those. So in 25, it'll be Family Day at the Zoo as well. What an incredible opportunity, guys. And Clint, we just need to devote an episode to that early in 25. To plug the Family Day at the Zoo. I think we had over 400 folks who showed up. It had been how many years since we've done
about
this?
6 years.
6 years. So it was incredible. But we'll do that a little later. I know that we're kind of coming up to the close on our time together. We want to, as we have our team members here, and introduce our team members to you. We've got a series of questions that we want to ask both of our guests, just so you know them a little better. Clint, why don't you start us off there?
All right. These will be rapid-fire questions. So we're going to ladies first. Miss Debbie, we'll let you answer first, and then we'll come – let Travis, but these are your favorites, all right? So first off, favorite meal.
I don't really have a favorite meal. It's whatever I'm eating at the moment, but I will say poppy seed, chicken, green beans, and tomatoes.
All right.
Mexican food, anything Mexican food.
All right. Favorite restaurant?
Chick-fil-A.
Lazy Pete's.
There we go.
That's a Baptist answer.
All right. What's your Chick-fil-A go-to relaxation spot?
That depends on what continent I'm on. Here in the United States, I'll just say home.
I say a ball field or my recliner.
All right. Besides the Bible, what's your favorite book?
I like Nick Ripken's Insanity books, The Insanity of God, The Insanity of Obedience.
Mm.
I'm going to take a little different direction. I like fiction. Anything by Louis L'Amour. Love it.
All right. Miss Debbie's the spiritual one.
That's correct.
We knew that. Favorite genre of music?
Oh, goodness. I would choose instrumental music, and the quieter and the softer, as quiet and soft as possible. What does Kenny G do? What is his...
That's who?
Before I know my he plays the saxophone.
People are going, who?
I don't listen Kenny G. much anymore, but I love to hear him play the saxophone.
Yeah.
I'm going with classic country.
All right. First concert you attended?
So I don't know if I've ever been to a concert, but I'm going to just say Wichita Singers concert, which was 50 years ago probably. And I love the Master Singers.
Absolutely.
My first concert ever as a little kid was the Imperials.
All right. Favorite place to visit?
Favorite place to visit is a little country village just outside of Marseille, France.
My favorite Beautiful. Place so far has been Alaska.
All right. Last one. Favorite sport?
Golf.
College football.
Amen.
Awesome. Hey, we want to thank Debbie and Travis for being with us today. And as we wrap this up, let me share just two thoughts with you that I gleaned from this. Number one is this. When it comes to missions discipleship, be intentional. Traditional methods are still effective.
That's right.
Non-traditional methods are effective. And the key, as we've talked about so many times, Clint, is intentionality. You can take any event, any activity, and you can transform that into an opportunity to model and teach the Great Commission. That's missions discipleship. And the second thing is this. Although curriculum has an important role in making disciples, relationships are the most important component of missions discipleship. Hopefully you can take some of those. You can jump on our website, take a look at what's offered there in the area of missions discipleship. If you have questions for Debbie or for Travis on any of these events, trips that they've talked about, opportunities of mission discipleship, maybe your church is looking at bringing back RAs and GAs or mission friends, or you've never done that before, and you want to look at that now as a way of teaching who we are as Southern Baptists and the position of missions and the importance of missions in those formative years of our children, our teenagers. You can get in touch with Travis and Debbie just through email, dmoore@absc.org, and tmccormick@absc.org. Or if you have a question for us, it's missionize@absc.org. Clint, do you have any parting words wisdom?
No wisdom. Just want to encourage you to continue to subscribe. Leave us a review, some comments there, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.